I'd like to say something.
Sure, yeah, and just if you, the only...
Microphone and address and all that stuff up here.
If you would, please, and we'd like to keep the comments to approximately 2 or 3 minutes, but go ahead, sir.
Mike Woolman, 7904, 104th Ave, Pleasant Prairie, Wisconsin. In that last meeting, we, a couple of things that I heard, public policy. We have this thing, we have to do it for public policy. We have to set it for public policy. Public policy is not taken from one and given to another. I mean, this thing, public policy, where you tell me what I'm going to do to support your idea of what you want to do and use a force of government to take from me to implement your policies, we can't afford it anymore. Bottom line is, if you look at what's going on in this nation, not just in this community, but in this nation, the people have we can't afford you. Bottom line is we've got more government than we want, more government than we can afford, and more government than I'm expecting my kids to pay for. These kids are hosed, and it's my generation that's let it happen. I'm going to stand up and say no more. Mandates. You mentioned mandates in the last in that last meeting. When I look through the budget, I can't find anywhere where you're identifying this is a state mandate that the state's forcing down my throat. Here's the federal government's mandate that they're forcing down my throat through your, this body. If the state is forcing you to do something, I want to know they are, who they are, where they get the authority to do it, and I want you to say no more. That's what you're elected to do. We're going to have to start thinking along those lines, because if we don't, my kids are hosed. All our kids are hosed. And they're starting to know it. We're going to be asking them to fund pensions, fund retirements that were promises made by the political class to the public class that can't be handled. Stockton went belly up yesterday. Vallejo, belly up. I know they're out in California, but we've got that problem throughout this nation. It's time to stand up and say no. Incrementalism, 2.5%, small numbers. This nation was founded on freedom, liberty, pursuit of happiness, personal accountability. I live my life that way. I don't owe anybody anything. I have always abstained from debt. I didn't realize that this government, whoever that entity is, was building up so much debt and telling me I'm responsible. Didn't comprehend it. It was well hidden through inflation, through a lot of different means. With the last 5 years that I've spent understanding where we started, how we got to where we are, the more angry I have become. And it's at all levels. This thing today, yeah, and we got a serious problem. And just to say 2.5%, let's do that incrementally. Well, in 2007, I sat down, looked at everything that came in, everything that went out. 66.8% of my gross revenue, everything that came in, went to some form of taxation, whether it was state, local, federal, gas, excise, you name it. What does that make me? 66.8% slave, 34% free. Done. And y'all need to understand it. I mean, I really hope that the political class is starting to understand that the folks out there that are actually paying the bills, getting up every morning, working 60, 70, 80 hour weeks, are done with it. I just hope you understand it, because, I mean, I'm going to tell my kids, at some point we've got to say no. And if your government representation keeps saying yes, the people are going to tell you no somehow, some way. We got to. We can't afford you. And I hope you think about that as you're going through these processes. You've made promises. You've lied, because that you have. We that can't afford them. You've made promises to people that government's not going to be able to keep. And at some point, you need to tell people, you know, we can't keep the promises we made. That's all I got to say.
All right, thank you. Further citizen comments? Further citizen comments? All right, seeing none, we'll close that section of the agenda and move on to the next item. I report to the chair, and I have no report. Any supervisor comments? That means any county supervisor in the room, not just the committee, if you so. All right, we'll move on then to item number five. And, of course, this is the resolution that was referred back to us from the county board. And any county board supervisor in the room is free to discuss it as well, not just those on the finance committee. So we'd entertain a discussion here about that resolution as well as one that you should have received by email from myself. This is an alternative resolution that was drafted at my request and the chairman and vice chairman's request by Al Schwartz. It is before you and proposes a range of zero. In other words, no increase from last year, not to exceed 1.88 over the 2012 budget. So those are the two resolutions. They're not the only issues for discussion. Any other resolution, as well as the resolution that proposed a reduction from 2012 to 2.5%. So there are basically three propositions, but those aren't the only propositions for discussion. So with that, we will proceed. Go ahead.
I didn't see three resolutions.
I just have a couple of questions.
Sure.
One is, I see it in here that it's from 0 to 1.88.
Yes.
Pretty much a range. We never did that range before.
Last year? Yes. I think it was 1.75 to 2.5. Am I correct?
I think so.
Okay. The problem that I see with this... I know there was another resolution to go down 2.5%.
From 2012, yes.
From 2012, which again, it's immaterial whether we can do it or not. But in this way, I see it that we're saying in no way we're going to go below 0%. So it's going to be just between the 0 and 1.88. So I would like to see something. Maybe we want to go from... minus 2.5 to 1.88 or something, to put something in there. So we're not limited on what we can go down. And the other question, I don't know if we can answer that, but it's where's the difference between the 2.5 to the 1.88 or the 0%? Where would be the cut that we would make if we change from 2.5
okay.
as before down to the 0 or 1.8. I didn't see it this year anyway.
So we'll have that answer for you in just a moment. All right, further discussion?
Just a question.
Yes.
I never saw a 2.5 decrease resolution. Where did that come from?
Well, that was from the that was an amendment to the resolution on the floor. I don't know that it was actually drafted in the form of a proposition.
Well, it didn't pass on the board floor either.
No, that was made.
The whole thing was referred back
correct.
To the committee.
Okay, yeah.
I'm
that
sorry.
Was
made, gotcha.
That was
right.
made and then it was referred back.
Yeah. So I'm just saying these are the three options. They're not the only options, but those are the three propositions, right?
Okay, Mr. Chairman, it was made, it was not. Passed.
Correct.
The original resolution was referred back.
That's with the amendment.
Yeah, but the motion to refer stopped the motion by supervisor. Somebody made a motion to go down to 2.5, and it got a motion to refer and referred.
Yeah, I'm aware of that.
Just,
right? Yeah,
okay.
You're right.
Thank
but that's
you.
Where the 2.5 minus 2.5 came.
Al, why don't you give state those figures? You have them in hand.
Every quarter of a percent would be $145,085.
I'm sorry, 140?
Every quarter of a percent
$140,000.
$145,085.
So a range of zero over 2012 equals what kind of million? $2 million what?
In a levy increase at 1.75 would be an increase of $1,015,000 approximately. In dollars.
All right, further discussion?
Can I follow up just for a second? Yes. Can we have a breakdown how much would be operation increase and funding increase?
And debt service?
Yeah.
At 1.75, it would be $672,000 approximately in operational expenses that increase, and $343,000 for debt service.
Why don't you copy then, if you could?
I have two copies.
Have you got them? And distribute those.
I have you. Just have three copies.
All right, why don't you?
Want me to make some more?
Yeah, would you please? All right. Gabe, anything for them? Gabe?
No.
Okay. Jeff?
Yeah, I just wanted to respond to the first point of your statement, Gabe. I mean, as you know, this is an advisory resolution. So for you to say we're going to come in at, that's not really true. Okay, we're giving some limits or ideas, a direction to the county exec, and then we'll see the budget. At this point, it's very premature to sit down and figure out where we'll come in at or any such thing. Right now, we're just given direction. So whether, you know, and actually, negative 2.5 was included in the motion that was on the floor last time. It was up to 2.5%. So it could have been negative 10% if you wanted. Okay, so it was up to that amount. And we're just giving a guideline. So when the chairman of finance, the vice chair, and I met with Al. We talked about it. We felt that it would be a responsible budget to come in between 0 and 1.88. Everybody certainly has the option when we get the budget to look it over and see what they want to do with it. It doesn't mean we're going to adopt a budget at that level. This is just an advisory resolution, so I just wanted to make that clear.
2.8. Right. Yes. Andy?
If it's advisory, I'm curious, last time it was up to 2.5 and now maybe 1.88, which is less than that. Did you look at how you would do that? Is that enacting any Act 10 to save money, or is that just taking a pen and crossing things out? Because if this is advisory, then why isn't the advisory to be less than 2? I still don't understand that fact. Because I know you have to be fiscally responsible, but you must have come up with some idea to lower from 2.5 to 1.88 or 0. And how are you going to do that? What was your way of saving money? And can we do a little bit more to go negative?
Yeah.
I don't know if anybody wants copies.
Yeah, why don't you just pass it
on?
Pass it down.
That's a good question. Thanks a lot.
Al, do you want to answer your question?
Well, to address the Act 10 and Act 32, which was the budget, well, I'll give you the 2012 context. The county had reductions of almost $3 million, $2.9 million, of which $1.16 million from retirement savings, about $300,000 savings in overtime, and $1 million savings in health insurance. Okay? The problem was the state also cut quite a few of our revenues. They cut our income maintenance revenue by almost $1.7 million, our youth aid by $400,000, our state shared revenue by $400,000, transportation aids by $200,000. So we had and a few other revenues that they cut or funding that they cut. So we had to use that money to fill those holes in the cut of funding that they gave us. So that's the way the state did this. It wasn't, in fact, just to a property tax reduction when they enacted Act 10 and Act 32. It was basically to fill holes that the state had on mandated services that we have.
Yeah, and I think it's well to note that total loss of state revenue was $2,921,423. The health care savings, which Al referred to, was the increase in copays, versus the state, which has no, state employees have no co-pays, but they did for the first time make a contribution toward the premium cost, which is certainly on the table for 2000 and for this next budget, 2013, as well.
Then yeah. My question is, are all the employees we pay for already that we could use that 10 on being asked?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
So this new proposal that you have is incorporating the ability to save money there.
My projection for next year, based on the analysis, if we have the same health plan, we'll save another $1 million. From health insurance, if we pull those people in that still have union contracts through the end of this year, and the retirement savings, yes, that was all already taken into consideration when I did my projection.
See, I didn't know that. You didn't ask me. What about Act 10?
And Bob can probably correct me if I'm wrong here. The sheriff's department still negotiates. We were able to enact. An HSA plan for the Sheriff's Department, okay, they cannot do a premium contribution. Is that correct, Bob?
Correct.
And, but we negotiated, we gave them an HSA plan in lieu of taking retirement from them, which we cannot do. We can only negotiate that, and they weren't willing to negotiate that as a concession.
Because they're not part
subject.
Of Act 10. And the deductible for the Sheriff's Department for a family plan is $4,800.
Dollar one, right?
What about, yeah. Are they negotiable on overtime?
No.
Okay. So basically they're still able to...
They're still able to negotiate except for health care.
Yeah.
What percentage of total employees does the sheriffs make up in comparison to all county employees?
What are they, probably sworn and about 150.
50.
But they have 57% of the budget because of everything else they do.
Law enforcement has 50% of the county levy.
Which is what we're talking about, right?
Correct. And you have to understand, the county budget's $200,000 in spending, of which $58,000 is local levy, okay? So 30 cents on the dollar is what they levy.
58 million.
Further discussion?
I just have.
Yes.
Going back to the Act 10 and the insurance, the last resolution that was presented with the 2.5 increase in there, I believe there was the insurance was projected to go up $1 million this year.
Correct. But let me preface that real quick. Last year when we did the budget, we had a $2 million hole in health insurance. We redesigned the plan, and a little over half the employees were able to take the higher deductible and copay. We still had an increase of $1 million based on our projection. Right now we're in a position where we have $1 million savings, but I'm not willing to project that the savings is going to continue throughout the year at this particular point. If it does, well, in fact, you know, we should have probably budgeted $1 million more if that savings occurs, or $1 million less, excuse me, if that savings occurs, and we will have a zero-based budget for health insurance. We won't need to increase it if the insurance plays out the way it currently is. But it's a little early in the year to still tell that. We're still working with the actuaries to see if that projections are going to hold true.
There is a couple of unions, 990, I believe.
990 and 1392.
Which still, they're not under Act 10. So
correct.
Which they're going to be in at the end of the year or next year. So we're going to be saving on that regardless.
Right.
So should that go down regardless, even if it stays the same?
No, because this year we had half of the group and we still increased the health insurance by $1 million. Okay.
But we had a surplus by.
Pardon?
But we had a surplus. Right?
We're running a surplus now. So the plan we put in place is working this year with the higher co-pays and deductibles on the group that we could put it on.
Which now there'll be more people we can put it on next year.
Correct.
So we should be making for surplus.
Yeah, hopefully we'll be in good shape where we won't have to increase the health insurance budget. But when I did the projection, I was basing it on what we did last year, assuming that we wouldn't have any surplus, because that surplus, as much as it is on there on June 1st, it may not be there in September when we look at it. It's a little early to, given that we had a $2 million loss last year, to be projecting $1 million surplus this year at this time. When September comes around and we have the actuaries take another look at it as we finish up the budget, we'll know if that surplus is real and if it may even grow, or it may, we may have some large claims that diminish it. But I based my projection, my $1 million increase, based on what we did last year prior to having this new plan in place.
Of the two unions or three unions that are remaining, how many total employees?
Bob, is it, it's not quite half, but.
I'm sorry, about 40%.
Yeah.
Which is quite a few people.
Yeah.
Yes.
Any further discussion?
Mark? Yeah, thank you. Question.
Mark?
I certainly hope that when we're talking about all that we can do to those people and these people and those employees and these employees, when push comes to shove and the room is tenfold what we have in here today or had at the board meeting, and they're all employees, that you're ready to stand up and make the same comments and the same commitments. Because I know I've taken the heat from not just 350, but 1,100 employees that we have from decisions that I've made in the past, and it won't be quite as convenient and comfortable to have the discussion when that time comes. I don't understand what's changed from the resolution that was before us last time and the resolution that's before us today, other than the number. Meaning I don't know how we've gotten to this number. I had a conversation with the chairman. I spoke with the county executive. He and I met as well. I shared a number of thoughts and ideas, specific budget areas that I thought we needed to be prepared to discuss, focus on, and see if there was an opportunity to have an impact. So there really is no difference here, other than we're saying if, in fact, there is the will of the board, the administration initially, and the board secondarily, to support something, we're going to cap it at 1.88 instead of 2.5 in terms of the increase. Maybe certainly that feels better, I'm sure, to the people in the room. Obviously, it feels better to me. I would suspect it's going to feel better to any number of people, because it's a lower number if all you're doing is looking at a number. Okay, I didn't speak while you were speaking, so I'd appreciate it if you didn't while I was speaking. And my point to this is simply to go back to, we've heard everything on the board floor from we're not taking advantage of Act 10. Some said we weren't doing anything with Act 10 yet. That certainly isn't the case. But just for point of reference, Act 10 cost us $22,000. That was our shortfall over the last budget. So the numbers are all here. Al just went through them. You're welcome to take a look at them. At least initially, am I suggesting there isn't more to be done with Act 10? Not by any stretch. However, I am saying that you can't just stand up and tell us that Act 10 hasn't even kicked in yet, so that's going to be our savior. It clearly is not our savior. I've then heard, you know, everything from we don't need this resolution any longer, or this policy any longer. It's a feel-good. It was only beneficial when we were seeing 5 to 7% increases year over year, and this was 8 to 10 years ago. I don't agree with it at all. If the approach is right, and I'm suggesting the approach is not right, the approach in the past has been to sit down with the administration at this point and talk about specifics in the budget, not just to do calculations that say if it's zero, we've got to find this much, if it's one, we've got to find this much, if it's two, we've got to find this much, if it's a negative two, we've got to find this much. That doesn't make any sense to me, because then you really are just throwing numbers out there to make somebody feel good or to address or appease a particular group or whatever the case might be. So I don't think we've taken the right approach. We haven't taken the approach that has been taken previously with this particular policy. It sounds as though some attempts were made since the last county board meeting, but you know, I think it's a little bit too late. And now all it does is looks as though we're responding to some criticism. And I'm not taking anything away from it because the points are all well taken. But you know, I've got. Let me just do the math. I've got 50. You know, what are the numbers now? Representation. 8,000 is it over 8,000, right? So, you know, recall the numbers we had in the room, a couple dozen. I had three separate, meaning individual, emails after last Tuesday's meeting. So when we talk about statements are made about taking from the taxpayers to support your plans, well, you know what, or making promises that we can't possibly keep. The only promise I made was to represent 166,000 people, starting with the 8,000 in the town of Summers that encompass the 15th district and the 166,000 that are countywide. So, I mean, to suggest that, you know, I've made some promise, or anyone has, that results in a 2.5% increase to the budget is just entirely off base from at least where I stand. You know, the reason I say there's no difference is because it is an advisory resolution that says no more than a number, which certainly encompasses everything from that number down, inclusive of a reduction if you're able to find, or were able to find a reduction. So this has really done nothing but brought it back and provided a number that, to some, I recognize the group here will take exception to it, to some will sound better. Just doesn't work for me because you haven't said to me, here's why we think we can go from 2.8 to 0 or 2.5 to 0 to 1.5 or 0 to 1.8, whatever the numbers are. I mean, there's really nothing here that says, you know, we think we can do it here, we think we could do it here, or we think we can do it here, or we think we can do it collectively. So it's just a number and a dartboard. So then if that's the approach it's going to be with the upcoming budgets, then I would say the advisory resolution isn't necessary any longer. It is just a poke, I guess, or whatever we think is going to be the best solution. And then, finally, I had one final thought here. I lost it. It'll come back to me. That's all I have. I don't know where I sit with this right now.
Ed?
I think with the 1.88, I think what we're coming in with that number is it's not to exceed where we came in last year. I think that's part of the reason where that number came from. And then that zero, you're asked where? I'm trying to explain
it's
to you.
It's a good thing we didn't commit at 5% last year.
Right. You're absolutely right. I agree.
Wow.
I agree. So if you're wondering where that number came from, I think you can safely say that we didn't want to exceed where we came in last year for some unforeseen reason and have that leeway to go all the way down to zero. That's where I think that came from. So I looked at it.
Right.
Well, I think I didn't sign the other resolution, but and I didn't sign it because I didn't think it was necessary. Okay, and I heard explanations about why we had one in the past because everybody used to go 5 and 6 and 7 and you wanted to bring it down. But as far as I'm concerned, you know, just to get this thing on the floor and then for discussion, the 0 to 1.88, that doesn't mean that I'm going to vote for a budget that's zero. I might vote for a budget that's below zero if it comes, but we haven't had any information yet at all on anything. We know we're told about numbers, projections, and that's what we're dealing with. So what's the difference whether it's 0 to 1.88 or 2.5 to whatever? What's the difference? It's an advisory thing that doesn't mean anything. So as far as I'm concerned, you know, I'll support this thing just to get it. If we have to do that, if we can have a resolution that we're not going to do this anymore, I'd go for that too. Because I don't think we need it. I still don't think we need it. Yeah.
Kim?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think some people are having a problem with the range that we're given on these resolutions. why don't we just change it to not to exceed 1.88? Mm-hmm. And then that gives the leeway to go below 0% also.
Okay.
If we were going to pass the 1.88, I like the fact that we say zero. I mean, I think we're putting in writing that that's an option. At least I think not to exceed to me sounds like you're going to go up to the 1.88. I'm saying if you would pass the zero to 1.88, I think it sounds that zero is an option, at least from that perspective. I mean, I like if you're contemplating between the 1.88 and the range. I like the range concept because we're at least potentially telling taxpayers we can come in at zero. We're given the direction that, although I personally don't want to come in at 1.88, I'd like to see a 0%. If you're going to do the 1.88, I'd like to see the zero to 1.88 on the wording of that. That's kind of my part.
Well, again, the point was just made. If you don't approach this correctly, yeah, the impetus behind it was at the time we were looking at routinely there were significant increases, significant compared to where we are today and where we've been in the last couple of years, and significant by any measure when you're talking about 5 and 7% increases year over year. But if the approach you're going to take is the approach we're taking right now relative to the 2013 budget, then absolutely I'm all in favor of getting rid of it. But that is not what should be happening. This policy resolution is one, regardless of whether you're looking at a cut or an increase or flat. It's about the county board, finance committee, leadership of the board, leadership of the finance committee, getting together with the administration, talking through early enough about what the direction is, what commitments are out there, where can we look to be more fiscally responsible when we can, and come in with a responsible recommendation. We're not doing that. I just don't see that we're doing it to the extent that the policy has asked us to do it and what we've done in the past. So, you know, we're just throwing numbers out and flushing this down the toilet because all of a sudden it's become cumbersome. Yeah, I know. I've seen this. Yeah, but again, no one is telling me that I'm missing the point here yet. We haven't really put in the discussion that's been put in the past, though.
Yeah, no, I agree.
So, of course, it's rubbing everyone the wrong way, and it's a waste of time, and we don't need it any longer. But I'm going to tell you, if we approach this correctly, the group that was here on Tuesday and the group that's here today will tell you it is the right thing to do, because it gives you an early start on putting together a budget that you can support and that's responsible. But we simply aren't taking this approach that has been taken in the past. Finally, I want to talk, and I don't know, maybe Al can touch on it a little bit. You know, we've had plenty of conversations about the state mandates. County government is an arm of the state government. Plain and simple, it's the definition of county government. You talk about we're mandated to operate a court system. We're mandated to maintain, do a certain amount of maintenance on the highways. Incidentally, when all that grass is up nice and tall that Kenosha County normally cuts, it isn't because we don't want to cut it. It's because we're told that we can cut it one time a year. I think it's once a year, right? Is it twice now?
It's twice now.
And it's prescribed on when we can cut it if we want to get reimbursed. If you want to get reimbursed, not us. It's the taxpayers who get reimbursed. So it does come from the state of Wisconsin. Our jail system, all mandated by the state, all over the years has been told, we've been told routinely, do more, here's the less you're going to get paid. The less you're going to get paid. We're all going to get paid. So it is a struggle. We are, is it two-thirds of our expenditures are carrying out state function? I don't recall what the numbers are. David probably know it better if he was in the room.
It's not quite there.
And I'm, you know, I'm completely in agreement with you. We've had multiple discussions on this board, or at the finance committee on the board floor, about saying to the state, you know what, enough is enough. You want it done? Do it yourself from here on out. There's only so much we are able to do from a legal standpoint, I don't know how else you put it, in terms of what the dictum is for county government and what we're obligated to do as directed by the state of Wisconsin. So,
can I ask a question on that, just real quick?
That's all I have.
Yeah, all right, thank you. We don't allow cross-discussion between the audience and supervisors. This is strictly supervisor discussion. Aaron?
Looking at these numbers, what is the premium contribution that county employees are paying towards their health insurance?
No, zero.
Well, then we're not using Act 10. If we're not paying, if our employees are not paying anything for their health insurance, we are not using Act 10. If we require them to pay 10% of their insurance contribution for their premium, that will save the county approximately $1.2 million. Right there. So don't come and tell me that we're using Act 10 when we're not requiring our employees to pay for their health insurance. When the private sector pays somewhere between 25 and 30% of their insurance premium, and we require nothing. That is money that Scott Walker and the legislature wanted us to save to offset the cuts that they gave us. But we didn't do it. So don't complain about the cuts from Act 10 when we refused last year on the county board floor to enact 5% insurance contribution last year. Four people voted for it. Four. And we're complaining about the cuts from Madison. So don't tell me we need 2.5% or 1.88 when we're not using all the tools in the toolbox.
I could not disagree with Supervisor Molinaro more. Act 10 saved somewhere where we were able to at least try to make up for what the state didn't give us. And if we're not even enacting it completely, that's a problem. There's also the biggest problem in the room is, from a taxpayer standpoint, if a jailer has to pay, then a deputy should pay, then a sheriff should pay. The point is, everybody's on our payroll. So I am very upset that we sit here and say, oh, no, we can't, or no, we can. I'm ready to talk in front of any board that every taxpayer employee, which is everyone in this room and everyone we pay, has to contribute. Everyone across the board the same. I'm very upset that the jailers have to do it and the deputies don't or whatever. And I'm willing to say that to anyone in the city because we're all the same. You're all paid by these people and by my paycheck. So everyone should be the same. And it's absolutely ridiculous to suggest an increase when every single voice by the people who put you in those seats say, decrease, decrease, decrease. Now, if we had used Act 10 completely and there were no money, there's time to take your pen and start eliminating people. But we didn't even use it. This is a joke. And this is very, very important because it shows the city and the taxpayers that we're listening to them. So it's ridiculous to suggest an increase, period. I will not support it, and I hope that there's more people in the city contacting you not to support an increase. So at least show the county exec and the people that we are going to decrease our tax levy. Remember that you decreased our assessments and kept our property tax the same. You already took more from us. It needs to be done, period. That's how I stand, and I will say that in every room, in every, wherever you put. It's the truth.
All right, further discussion, Mike?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I agree completely with Supervisor Decker, Supervisor Montemaro. First and foremost, if we haven't implemented it, I'm in the private sector. I pay practically 30% between my premium contributions and co-pays and everything else. So I don't feel as though I'm asking something. This is not an attack upon the employees of Kenosha County. This is a realization that we are not in the same economic times that we once were. Concessions do not have to keep coming from the private sector and from the taxpayers. And as I stated before, it is not a bottomless pit. I ran and was elected to this position because I felt that the taxpayers weren't receiving fair representation. I'm a taxpayer and everybody else in this room is. So we should be seeking ways to reduce spending at the government level. Because business as usual is not going to cut it anymore. In the private sector, we are asked routinely to find ways to cut spending due to reduced budgets. And we do it, or you're not necessary. We haven't done that at all with our comp staff, and I don't think that that's the intent here. What the intent is to change the mindset of government that every year, well, it's just got to go up. I've lived here 15, 16 years. Other than when, of course, the housing bubble burst and my assessments went down dramatically, I've never seen my taxes go down in Wisconsin. And that is not something that I can brag about to my other professional colleagues around the nation. We should be. Do we want to attract businesses and citizens to Wisconsin and to stay in Wisconsin? That should be our goal. Growth of government is not it. I realize there are obligations, but there are also obligations in the private sector. Corporations have obligations. You find the truly important ones, and you maintain and you take care of those. But there are other wants. There's needs, there's wants. The wants, sometimes, you have to go through delayed gratification. I'm doing it in my own household. My income isn't going up at some massive rate, that's for sure. Basically because of, and everybody in this room probably can attest that, due to inflation, devaluation of your currency, and the fact that you're just not seeing the kind of money made both in the private and public sector anymore where you can continue to increase spending. So, yes, I am willing to stand up in front of any of the employees because I'm doing something that they're currently not doing. I don't think that I'm asking for too much from them. If it was really that going to be that bad, and this goes for the private sector, if you really don't like it, there's a simple four-letter word, and that's quit. But we're not asking them for that. What we're doing is this is right. It's a resolution. It's non-binding. But what it does do is it sets a public's perspective on what we're being asked and what we're being required to oversee, and that is spending at the government level. And I realize, compared to our school districts, as well as your local taxes, whether it's village or town, okay, they all add up to your property taxes. But as I stated last week, is if we could set the example for others to follow, we all win. Now, there are things that we've done in the private sector and that I even have questions on, such as total quality management or lean transformation. Has that been pursued or investigated at all at the county level? Bob, maybe you know, maybe you don't know. If it hasn't, it should be. I know for a fact Brown County and Waukesha have done it, have implemented, and they have found savings. Why? Because you just don't keep doing the same thing over and over but expect different results. We have to do that. I've done it in my corporation. And delaying some things to better times is not such a bad thing. It's not as though we're saying, throw the baby out with the bathwater. What we're saying is simply, this is a tough economic time. People are struggling and hurting out there. And I heard and listened to those constituents. I also got emails, but I'm also a taxpayer. And I've had enough. There is no way I'm supporting anything more than zero. I can guarantee that. I don't care what this resolution is. And there is no reason at the excellent level of people that we have working in administration and staff that we can't find some savings and cutting. I just don't believe it. I know we can do it in the private sector, and I know government, if they just change their mindset that we just don't keep increasing every single year, because that's just what we do, it can be done. And there are tools and ways to approach it. So that's my perspective. Certainly, if we're not implementing Act 10 and those tools, I'm a big advocate of that.
Further discussion?
Thank you very much.
All right, thank you. Further discussion? Mark?
There was a conversation. Well, let me first say, I believe to a supervisor who spoke over here, Montemurro, Skalitsky, and I could be wrong on Supervisor Decker, made the statement that we were not utilizing Act 10. First of all, I am generally in agreement with all three of you. You made the statement on the board floor, without doing your homework, that we are not implementing Act 10. We are implementing portions of Act 10, which is what I said when I spoke. So we are, of course, it's portions. I'm speaking, Supervisor Montemurro. We have three, is it three units that will expire at the end of 2012? Two.
Oh, yeah.
Three. And then there will be five employees, I believe, countywide, who will still have an agreement in place. And those are parks that are not protected. Correct. So if you do the homework and understand the bigger picture, it isn't just as simple as saying we are or not are not taking full advantage of Act 10. Okay, I think what we did last year was a responsible approach to getting the level playing field that you're touting as you speak, saying if the jailers aren't doing it but the deputies are, that isn't fair. If this one is doing it, that one isn't doing it, that isn't fair. That's part of what we tried to accomplish last year when we dinged our employees significantly under the advantages we could take, or we did take on Act 10 at the time, recognizing likely when the 2013 budget got here, they would be whacked again. I supported that, not simply because I thought the employees should be given whatever we could or spend whatever we wanted to spend. I thought it was responsible because several groups lost thousands of dollars in wages by their perception. Now, I don't agree as a private employer who pays all of my employees pay 50% of their premium for themselves only, and 100% of their family or spouse. That's a hell of a deal in my mind. It's not in theirs, I'm sure. But at the end of the day, to say to an employee who is going to have to make a significant adjustment, that I thought it was appropriate to give them that time to make that adjustment before you take additional. That's why I didn't support the premium contribution in 2012. So, all I'm asking is to do all of the homework, not just a part of it, so that you can come and make certain statements that sound good or are going to put you in a position where you can say no to everything. I fully appreciate the saying no to everything. We've had many in the position who've been here over the years who have done that. You want to make an impact? I tried to bring up on the board floor when you brought forward the human services increases on the fees, and I was, I think, by the chairman of finance, told that it was somehow anti-business. To increase the fees commensurate with what it is we spend to issue permits, to do inspections, et cetera, et cetera. Human Services brought that through all day long because every year we do 2.5% or whatever the number was. That could have been a great place, Supervisor Montemurro, to have an impact in the 2013 budget. That committee chose not to do it. You want to make an impact, every single committee budget that comes out of committee better come to the Finance Committee with some significant cuts to get to where you want to be. Don't leave it up to the Finance Committee at budget hearings to do all the heavy lifting. Because so far, there's been no effort, in my opinion, to getting this thing to understand where these numbers are coming from. They're just numbers that we're pulling off because we didn't like a number last week, so now we're going to make it lower and we're going to like it today. I told the chairman when you called me on Tuesday that I would support this. I'm not. Because I don't think there's been enough effort put forward. Send it out. Do what you want to do with it. When it comes time, I'll sit with the county executive, finance committee, whatever the case might be, to get this budget to where it needs to be. The other thing I want to point out, we started talking in the executive committee, or I think it was the executive committee, and ran out of time under the last term about implementing a zero-based budget approach. I suggest we bring that back to the Finance Committee or the Executive Committee if you're inclined to bring it up, Mr. Chairman. Get that on the agenda, begin to have that conversation, and find a new way to move forward in preparing the budgets here in Kenosha County. Instead of, what increase do we think is going to be appropriate? Why does it have to start with an increase? That was where the conversation was headed. We didn't get to get very far with it again based on the timing of the ending of the last term. That's where the discussion ought to be. not what increase is going to be palatable this year over next year. Be prepared. I hope you're going to do the work in committee, because so far what I've seen is a couple of missed opportunities. Business as usual. Now we're going to say that the only way to solve this is health insurance premiums. That is not the only way you're going to solve this. That's all I have.
Just asked whether or not people are contributing, and the answer was no, which is excellent. So before I say anything else, I would love to sit down with you again. I want to find out how many people on our payroll are contributing physically, right? Because I don't believe that the savings could only be $22,000, and so many people did take cuts. So, and I can do that another time, sir. I just don't understand. Just asked that question, and the answer was no, they're not contributing.
All right, can you answer
that?
Go ahead.
Can I defer to Mr. Rito, because he's more of an expert than I am, but in fact the county employees are contributing, and based on through their co-pays and deductibles, are paying about, from our consultant, 20% of the cost of health insurance, but I'll let Bob take it from there.
Essentially, our contracts evaporated after expiration.
Make sure he says
so. Everything that we had to negotiate under VR and 117 pretty much lived it out, through exception, basically.
Piece of it.
Even that's the compliance of the procurement. What we know is Act 10 required all employees to contribute to the benefits. So for every employee, approximately 600, did not have a contract in 2012, they began contributing to their pension. With respect to health care, the county's system is not a premium-based contribution, but a use-based contribution. So every time you go and access the health care, it costs you something. Doctor's appointments, $35, new patient hospitalization, $300, trip to the emergency room, $200, and every day is over, every single day. When Act 10 came in, we no longer had to negotiate those copays with the unions. The county has to flex. So, at the direction of the county, we went into a retreat with Director of Finance, myself, the healthcare consultant, who some of you have seen. And we rebuilt the plan. Now the plan. And it increased the amount of money that employees are required to contribute to health by about 10%. So our employees, who are now outside of the contract and under Act 10, are contributing 21% in actual hard work. Every time they use the money, it costs them some money. And that's how we've done it. It's been very successful. The reason it's been successful is because it requires the employee to make a health care decision every time he or she comes to pay. You know this probably better than I. It makes you choose between a $100 trip to the emergency room and a $35 trip to the doctor. It makes you choose between a $12 generic drug or the $88 non-generic top formulary tier. It makes you decide inpatient or outpatient. And there's a benefit to the county for choosing wisely, and there is an individual benefit for the employee for choosing wisely. So that's how we have structured it. In the 10 years since 2003, when we implemented this plan fully, we've had 1 year where we did not operate at a budget reduction lower than the budget. And our budget increases come from an independent source. I don't cook it up. It comes from Milton. And last year, we had what experts would predict was one of 2 years that you can anticipate out of every 10. And so instead of our normal $500,000 or more in tax, we had the bad. Lots of dancing, lots of rights, all this.
However, $1 million of Breckenridge was built in over 2 years. When the other 350 employees who no longer are restricted by the contract come in under Act 10, they too will impact the 41% cap. And we are structuring more options. We rebuild it on a regular basis so it remains affordable, consumer driven, and compliant with Act 10 and encouragement.
So how could that possibly only save us $22,000? I mean, obviously, you're saving a lot of
weight,
right? That's what. So
you're referring to the analysis, and I think you got the sheet over there.
Yeah, I mean, if we save Act 10, we're saving us, correct?
No, the $22,000 was balancing the increases against the decreases. The savings. If you looked at this sheet, everybody have this sheet? Not that. No, you don't have this sheet. The health care savings was $1 million.
Okay.
$1 million. The 22 is an offset. But just to repeat what has already been stated, there is no employee premium contribution. The board is free to impose that. Further discussion? Yes, Aaron.
Just to comment on the comment with the direction that this resolution is, I still think there's value. I know there's a lot of, it's kind of a meaningless, in some ways, resolution. That I shouldn't say it's meaningless, but it's not, there's no teeth that this is what the executive has to do, but I still think their approach was taken. There's some numbers that are very estimates at this point. I know I met with Mr. Schwartz today. We've gone over a lot of the numbers. And like Supervisor Squitzy pointed out, there's a lot of stuff that we can prioritize and say this is what we need to do. This is what we can push off. But I think the resolution is still important. I mean, we're given direction for what we want to do. It's a statement that we would make for both the public and the executive. And I think... just to kind of step back from it, from the meeting we had a couple weeks ago when I voted against it, the 2.5% at that time, it's probably the single most vote I've, just to share with you guys, the most comments I've gotten out of a committee meeting vote. And the biggest comment that I got was just simply thank you. You know, thank you for standing up for the taxpayer. You know, and I'm not trying to get on a high horse here and say that we have to cut and, you know, that everything has to be a reduction, but... You know, property values have continued to go down, and the tax levy always increases. I agree that this isn't as much about the numbers as it is the direction that we want to go and the mindset that we take as a board. Do we come in with the mindset that we're going to just come in at a zero, and if we can do better, that's great? Or do we come in with the mindset that we're going to go back to the well and ask taxpayers money? And I'm at 0% personally. I think I've been open with anybody that's asked me, the executive, Mr. Schwartz, any supervisor, I'm at 0%. If we can do better, that's great. But I will support a 0%. I could support a zero to something at this point to move it forward. If we want to move it forward, I would prefer a 0%. But this is advisory, and we can work towards it. And at the end of the day, we do have to come up with resolutions and solutions to get to that number, whatever number that we're all at. Those are just my general comments.
All right. Thank you. If you don't have a copy of this, I'll call on you in a second, this 25-year history of the county budget, it's worth taking a look at, and maybe, Alan, you can distribute these. In 2005, we instituted this advisory resolution, and that year it was a 3% levy increase. Now, maybe you think that's not so hot, but let me contrast that with some others before 2005. In 2000, the increase was 11%. 99, 12.8%. In 93, it was 16.9%. And I'm just taking these numbers at random here. 2001 was 7.2%. Since 05, It has never exceeded 3.9%. Last year was the lowest 1.8. So it does have an impact. Further discussion here? Mike? Yes, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Gertson, referring back to Mr. Molinaro's comment, Supervisor Molinaro, sorry about that, zero-based budget, can you elaborate, expand on that? Has it been done? Have you dug into it? Or Mr. Schwartz, would you? I'm not sure.
I'm happy to talk. We both might want to talk about it.
That'd be great.
With the
sure. Yes, go ahead.
And talk about, is that something in the plans? If it isn't, could it be? Because it is of value. There's no doubt about it. Rather than just say, well, we were here, so let's just add this. And that is the public perception. That is the perception, because that's the perception I had, as well as when I was meeting constituents, that's the perception that they had. And changing that perception is very important. And if we can, you know, again, getting back to, as I was talking about, which is lean management principles, not doing the same thing over and over, but reevaluating how we're doing things to get better at it, more efficient, cut out waste, and thus cut out expense at it. That'd be great. Thank you.
We can talk about zero-based budgeting. We've done zero-based budgeting. We've done it a couple of times over last 30 years. Zero-based budgeting, the reason people like to talk about zero-based budgeting because of the name zero-based budgeting, if you go into the technical mechanics of zero-based budgeting, it doesn't do what you want it to do. Lean management comes closer to doing what you want. So zero-based budgeting is this thing where if you go back, Jimmy Carter was someone who did that in the state of Georgia. You have things called decision packages, and you walk back from zero up to having nothing in your budget, no personnel, no resources, up to a base level and then above the base level. So going through that decision package process that we did for maybe three or four budgets that we've been here, about 90% of our budget is mandated. So if you're going to go into the district attorney's budget, if you're going to go into a lot of the, about 90% of the levy is mandated. So we found that it was not worth it. We have implemented some lean management. We have some lean accounting. So, for example, you see some one-pagers that we have. We don't give 90 pages of balance sheets and financials. We've condensed it into one pager. So we've implemented some of the lean government. It takes resources to do either of these. I think a better place to put the resources to implement would be in the lean piece. That's where you're really going to get savings. We've done some. We went through some lean in our department. Public Works went through some in their department. We eliminated positions, saved money, but continued to provide equal or greater service. So between the two, I would tilt towards the lean. Putting some funding in the budget to try to implement it in some strategic areas. Some of the ideas of zero-based budgeting, I think we kind of do. I mean, when we budget, when we send out our budget guidelines, we say, no increases. We say, review all your processes. Look at the ones you haven't looked at for a few years. Between the two, again, I think the lean management is where we can really get savings.
Are you finished, or do you have anything else?
No, I concur. Okay. It really requires a commitment to it, identifying some core individuals that then can, because I've spoken with some other counties that have done it, I know in our own, in my own employer, we've done it. You've got to identify those people, and it's really changing. And nobody likes change. Nobody in this room likes change, but it's inevitable. You either change or you're going to get changed. And that's what we're trying to avoid. If you can be proactive on things and just not do things like we've always done. Some things, you already have the best way to do it, and I understand that. But looking at alternatives, because Supervisor Molinaro made a commentary, says, hey, better come prepared, roll up your sleeves, and I'm certainly prepared to do so. But I am not the guys or the person working in various departments. I'm not the expert on your departments, how it should function, what's required, what are the minimums, what could change. That's you guys, right? That would be saying that I'm an expert in everything, and I'm not. But I know that there are some things that we certainly can't do. There are available tools out there, and we certainly should embrace them. Because there is a perception by the public that government just continues to grow. And we just, maybe it's PR, maybe it's not explaining things clearly. I don't know. But it exists out there. And that's why this is a contentious point, and a point that is not necessarily going to go away. It's certainly not my constituents. They're looking for us to lead and look over their best interest. That doesn't mean that we just come in and gut government. That isn't it. But it doesn't seem as though,
I have one,
from a perception standpoint, that they've reevaluated and are doing things differently to even just come with a zero budget. I've never seen one. Not in the state of Wisconsin, anyways. I'm sure it happened somewhere. And that's what we should be striving for. So, thank you.
All right, well, thank you.
Dave, in 1981, we had a minus 141.
I'm sorry, what?
In 1981, we had a minus 141 budget.
All right. Yes.
I'm the lean management.
Does that make you feel better?
What I've seen on the lean management is I've seen some of the employees enjoy the change. So I think, you know, if you do it right, most of the employees here are dedicated and want to do a good job.
Yeah, absolutely.
Want to be wasteful. And lean management helps them, give some better tools to do that. And there might be some reductions, but I think if people can get their job done spending less, a lot of them are happy to do that. And I've seen them enjoy, a lot of people enjoy the change that comes through lean management. There was a report I read out of, it was Marin County, California, and it was a case that went to court, and the court found that they were AAA county that had a really good balance sheet, but their focus was not on providing service delivery. So the goal can't be to be AAA with the world's best balance sheet. The goal is we're a service delivery organization. The goal is we want good financial support that's part of service delivery. You can't do good service delivery if you're bankrupt. But we're a service delivery organization, and that's what is critical. And lean management helps provide that good service.
Yes. I concur, because what it allows you to do is engage with the employees, because sometimes they're stuck doing something that's the way it's always done, even though they've got other ideas about it. So you're right. And it is not about whacking heads. It's about becoming more efficient. So thank you. Thank you for your commentary.
Yeah. I just wanted to make one other comment. What was it, 10, 12 years ago, we did a critical path study which benchmarked our level of services against a bunch of others looking for cost savings. And that critical path study, in fact, showed a lot of benchmarks or a lot of level of services, and the level of service we were providing relative to others and other communities in the state. But it just shows whether you're providing a higher or lower level of service and what level of service you want to maintain. And I think that's critical as policymakers for you guys to look at. What level of service do you want? Because the higher level of service, obviously, the higher the cost at some times, although lean helps streamline that process.
Yeah, I would agree. Benchmarking is a critical phase of the lean process, because if you're not continuing to reevaluate and measure against, how do you know you're there? And you're right, we are a service organization. We're serving the taxpayers of Kenosha County, and it's important for us to balance expenses with service, because there is a tipping point there. You want excessive amounts of service, you got to pay for it. But you also don't want to leave the taxpayer going, gee, where's all this money going to, too? So,
all right, thank you. Further discussion here? Anyone else? Eric?
So last year was the first year that we passed a range.
In the resolution. Yes.
Why was that?
My only recollection, Dave, if you recall better, I thought it was just a political compromise, but if you have a different view of it, that was my view of it.
And particular. Yes. Go ahead, Dave.
Yeah, go on.
We had IM, income maintenance, was hanging out there, and we weren't sure was it going to come in and reduce our levy by $1 million or not. So when we worked our way through it, we gave the range to, you know, if the IM came in, it would be lower. If it didn't come in, it would be higher.
So we had a reason to have a range last time.
But I think we've had ranges in the past, too.
Not to exceed, which is kind of a range.
You know, 2.5 is a not to exceed is similar to have adopting a range.
Okay, so there was a reason last year to have this range.
So the state budget.
Yeah, because of income maintenance, which
and
thankfully four things that got done. We got $1.1 million this year.
We have less of a cut.
Yes, exactly. So it just seems like having a range this year is kind of cop-out. That we say, well, we know that when we brought it to the floor at 2.5%, people didn't like that. So let's give it a range. Hit that 0%, so the people that weren't happy with the 2.5 and don't want a tax increase, they can say, well, I voted for the range that was at 0. Even though I really know, but I'm not going to tell anyone, that it's not going to come in at 0. So I think the range is a cop-out, and it's an excuse for people to vote for it, so they can tell their constituents, I voted for 0, but the county executive brought it in at higher. So, sorry.
All right, further discussion? All right, what's your pleasure?
Motion to adjourn.
Is there a second? Second? That was for want of a second. Aaron?
I'd like to make a motion to pass a resolution for a 0% increase to the tax levy.
Is there a second? Is there a second? Sure, I'll second it.
I think we put in a lot of the numbers. I think they're estimates at this point. I see, as we pointed out, Act 10, whether we agree with all the numbers or not, if you needed to, I think there's still savings that could be had. There's areas in the budget we've gone through. We've got $750,000 department increases. We've got $1 million for health insurance that right now is coming in very well, and we know that we're going to get at least $1 million savings with the current pot. I think there's lots of room here, and plus if all the supervisors want to dig up their sleeves, I think a 0% is a statement to the Kenosha County taxpayers that, you know what, I know, step back a second, it's if you look at your total tax bill, you got the county portion, the city portion, or whatever municipality you got your school budget. You know, a 2% is maybe $8, the sheet we have here. It's not a lot, but it's a statement that says, you know what, we're not going to increase. We're gonna focus on keeping the levy flat. We're going to attract businesses. I think this is a short-term phase that we're in with all this economic hardship, that pretty soon we're poised for growth, and I think we're going to be adding employees in the future. We have to have a 5 or 10 year plan that we are poised, and we have to make short term sacrifices until we can start adding new construction, new businesses, new jobs. I don't think 0% is out of the question, or would take that much public policy slashing of parks or highway coverage. I think it is definitely within range, and that's my thoughts.
All right. Further discussion on the resolution, Supervisor Frederick.
What if we don't do anything right here?
Well, then we do nothing.
Then there's no policy resolution recommendation at all.
That's right? Correct.
Then the budget falls in line. We get the budget from the executive, and we do our job. This is what I said from the beginning. I don't have a problem with the 0. If that'll get this through the process so we can get it to the floor and have some kind of recommendation. So I'll vote for the 0. Okay, as you're saying, I'll vote for the 0 just to get this resolution. So we're obviously, are we committed to do this resolution by some rule or something? Or
It's an advisory resolution.
It is a policy.
It's a policy.
It's a policy. We have to bring in a recommendation.
So are we committed to doing something?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay, then I'll support the zero.
Okay. Supervisor Molinaro?
I don't have it.
Oh, I thought you had it. Any other discussion from the supervisors? Any other discussion? All right, seeing none, we'll have a roll call vote on this. Supervisor Kubecki?
No.
Aye.
Supervisor?
Aye.
Mr. Carswell?
Aye.
Ms. Shelley?
Aye.
Supervisor Molinaro?
Aye.
Myself? Aye. Passes. Is there further business?
Who do we join?
I'm sorry?
No.
Actually, there was. That was the only resolution before the committee. I think everything else was
for
discussion.
Doing
and what we will do is just take the resolution and change it a little bit. But I don't think that was an amendment.
No, it wasn't.
There's nothing on the floor.
It was the resolution.
No, that's correct. Everything was on the floor. So Supervisor Montemaro. The nurses, not on this agenda. That was going to be on the next agenda, our regular finance committee, and I didn't see that as a special item, but we will definitely have it at the next finance committee, and we certainly encourage your attendance there as well, and we'll have some facts and figures on that. Anything else to come before the meeting this evening?
Move to adjourn.
Is there a second?
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you for coming.
We need to sign it.
And
signature, please, so I can get that out.
All right. Very good. Jim will know how to call me tomorrow. I'll be sure. I'll be
sure. Mark, can I ask you a question?
Yeah. The
budget, you look at it, you can't identify the mandates.